Hilchos Tefillin and Zizur are divided in various categories. They're divided in the professional category, and they're divided in the user category. The two of them are very, very different in how they refer to the matters and how we address them. For practical application, everyone here goes ahead, puts on tefillin every day. Mekayim two mitzvahs aseh, mitzvahs in the Torah. One of tefillin shel rosh, one of tefillin shel yad. Minhag Ashkenaz is past two brachas. Minhag Sfard, Eidot HaMizrach, based on the Mechaber, is to say one bracha. And that's the basic issue we have. If you look at people putting on tefillin, they come in, run into shul 2 seconds late, slap them on, put them off, boom, in and out. What happens to tefillin in the interim is will work for me because I get the repairs. Now, it's nice that everybody worries about my panosa and strangulating your straps and banging your bottom and that. But let's understand what we have. And there are many misnomers about tefillin to begin with. One, when you check your tefillin, what is the most important thing that's supposed to be checked in tefillin? Go ahead. Everybody says the parshas. Okay. Esther Devarim Halacha Moshe Mishina. The Gemara Menachos brings it down. Rambam brings it down. And so you do it. There's 10 points in Halacha Moshe Mishina and Tefillin. Comes the Rambam Perek Gimel. Shmoneh Halacha Siyesh Maseh HaTefillin. Kulan Halacha Moshe Mishina. Zeficha Kulan Ma'atzos. Very interesting. We just said the Gemara brings down the Ezra Halacha Moshe Mishinai. The Rambam in Perek Aleph brings down there's Ezra Halacha Moshe Mishinai. And now the Rambam goes ahead and he says Shmona Devarim Halacha Moshe Mishinai. What happened to the other two? The other two is Zvi Mechadish. They are that the ink has to be black. The ink has to be black. Why black? If you ever look at an old Sefer Torah, you see it turns red. Because ink has within it tannic sulfur, it has ferrous sulfur, tannic acid, and is water-based. That combination causes rust. That's why old Sifrei Torah turn red. Okay? A Halacha Moshe Mishinai has to be written on plus. That's the two. We have a Mechilta, famous Mechilta in Parshas Bo, Eish Shachor, referring to the black of the letter, verse al gabay eish levana, referring to the class. That's it for the Halacha Moshe Mishinai of Parsha. Finished. End of Parsha. Go on to Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, now we talk about Shmona Devarim Halacha Moshe Mishinai. So you're supposed to say, wait a second, Kulam Aksu. So let's go through quickly what they are. The Rambam says, very simple lashon. You know, excuse the pun, but it's black or white in my business. Either it is or it isn't. The level of what's called hider is all gray, but whether you're mekayim the mitzvah or not mekayim the mitzvah is rather simple. Any of these points which I'm now about to review the Rambam about, if they're not the way they're supposed to be, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Alright, v'chein. Chu mirabuah. The rabuah of the batim is a halacha moshe mishinai, if they are not square. Now, we'll further define that in the following ways. The bias is the top part of tefillin. The base is called the titura, and the area where the ritual goes through is the marbarta. Those are the three parts of batim. They apply for shel yad, and they apply for shel rosh. Tifardam, where they have to be sewn up square. If the sewing isn't squared, they are not kosher. Right? The base, the titura, has to be squared. Now, see my hand? What happens if I do this? They spread out. But what happens over here? When I put my hand this way, the arc of my fingers has like a stomach to it. What happens when one sweats? Where does the sweat on your head go to? It goes to your head. From your head, where does it go to? To the base of the bosses. What happens to that base? It warps, which causes that. So sometimes when your people, if you notice, it's filling open up a little bit, because of the sweat on the base of their head, or what we call the shower syndrome, or for those who, you know, some people, young people, put in gel in their hair and things of that nature, they will also, that moisture will cause it to open up. But we just said two other very important things. There's a rabua of not only the top part, which because everybody says my corners has to be perfect. Believe me, when I checked the Chofetz Chaim tefillin, and yes, only the Chofetz Chaim knew a little bit about tefillin. Right? His tefillin were dachos, and were never as sharp as you could ever get a pair of gassos. All the gedolim had dachos at one point, because gassos is a new mice of about only 120 years. So what we call sharp, what we call exact, Chazal defines for us in the Gemara, which is 2% leeway. The reality is that when it warps on the base, you cause an angle on that base. So the base, because of warping and sweat, can lose its rabua. Still a base, but it just shrinks a little bit. See the cracking. Now, some cracking is normal. When people see new tefillin and they have little cracks in them, that's because that leather and paint have different levels of elasticity to them. They simply, expansion and contraction, so to heat and cold, will show a little crack as they don't expand exactly the same. That doesn't bother me. A little teeny opening doesn't bother me. But when it warps and its shape looks a little bit funny, then you have a big problem. The other thing that people sometimes don't realize, and those of us who have a propensity to sweat a lot, when we sweat, our body gives off salts and minerals. So let's see it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, gave us the ability to sweat in order to maintain a body temperature, and that's what we do. But within those ingredients, those homerim, the minerals that we have in our body, they will come to use gid, and they will basically eat it. Says the Taz, that Tzorek Livdok gets a tefillin, mepam lepam. And he brings down, the reason is the gidim are eaten alive by one sweat. So sometimes you get a pair of tefillin, and they're fatty on the bottom. And if you look carefully, there's no gidim any there anymore. There were, they were pressed together, maybe glued together, but there's no gidim there, they were eaten by one sweat. So when people say to you, you never need to check tefillin, there's a hazukin. It looks very good. Take simin lama test, see if you test and see if you are. In Tzorek is an Eftzilin kol hayom, and Tzorek livdok otam. They have a hazokim. The Hemshech of the Halacha talks about getting stuck in the rain. Comes in the Migdish Ma'at, and he says, lo yitechen davar kezeh. It's post-sofer. The printing said, in yani Eftzilin kol hayom, and Tzorek livdok. Why? Because then, if you got caught in the rain, or if this happened, or that happened, you knew what happened to your tefillin. But if you take them out and you put them in to the cabinet, or yesterday I had a meeting, I went to Hoshev Rav in the community, and he started, said, I'll give you a lift back. Gives me a lift back. In his front seat of his car is his talis and tefillin. The bag is puffed up because of the nylon from the heat yesterday in the front seat. Now, if I told you, please, there's a very safe place. Put your tefillin in the oven. Set it on low all day. Not too high, only 100 degrees, temperature, 150 degrees Fahrenheit, right? And leave it there all day. You say to me, the man's a cuckoo. Meshuggah is there. He's going to bake my tefillin. Says, but when you leave them in the car like that, you bake your tefillin. So when I open up the tefillin, I hear, there's all the letters crack apart. Right? The converse, by the way, is you ever put him into a airplane, right? You know, 74 degrees below zero outside in a hole which is not pressurized and is not heated underneath. You know, so it isn't 74 degrees below zero. It's only 25 degrees below zero, right? But that will do the damage in itself also. Two aces practically. You know, what they call a igloo case or a picnic case that are the thermal insulated. You buy one of them, you put it into the boot of your car, you put your talus and your tefillin into that, and it maintains normal temperature. You don't need to put ice, you don't need to put in heating pads, garnish, but it protects it from the sun, it protects it from the cold, and if a guy breaks into your car, odds are he's not looking for food and won't look into there. But if you keep it into a briefcase, you can say goodbye to your tefillin. So practically speaking, that's that. Now with all the problems with the airport, if you have to travel, buy yourself a six-pack beer pack or a styrofoam box. If you probably go to almost any pharmacy, they throw them out daily, these little teeny styrofoam boxes, because they get all their refrigerated drugs in them. You put it into that, you put that into the suitcase, and then at least, hopefully you don't lose your suitcase, but it will protect it from the cold in the plane if you cannot take them on. Now already, Baruch Hashem, you're able to take them on. Continuing the list of Halakha Moshe Sinai, you have a shin. Now the shin seems today to be a very odd Halakha. Once the Messias was that the Dakos, Shutos, were very thin leather. They warped, the shape of the pressed out shin would be lost. Today, with Gassos, because the leather is so thick, it virtually doesn't happen. However, yesterday I had a pair of tefillin to check, and the person gave to me, he said to me he had it checked three times already by distinguished sofrim in Stanford Hill and in Golders Green, and his bottom were 100% possible. No shyness, possible. When he asked, when I said it to Rav Weingarten, I'll show you the pair of tefillin, and you won't be able to tell me the psul. He looked at the tefillin, and he says, you're right. I can't tell you what the psul is. Two other sofrim had come to see me. I showed them the pair of tefillin, and they had no idea what I was talking about. What was the Halakha Moshe Sinai with the shin? The shin went all the way up to the very top of the bottom. No rabua. Because there has to be a mashu space to be able to measure the very top parameter of the filling around and around. The fellow who did it, when they sanded it down, they sanded it to the level of the shin, so the tagim touched, and ruined the rabua. That's one of the reasons why Kloisenberg does not have tagim, because he says it's a chiddush tagim, that since it's a ke'en shin, it really doesn't need the tagim on the shin, and it's because they're not balanced. The only reason we know a shin is Halakha Moshe Sinai, that it has to have three and four on the right and the left, that it's a chiddush, that otherwise it should definitely be a problem with the rabua. The only reason we have the shin is because of the doubles. We need the shin. But the tagim aren't makif. If they're not makif, if they touch the very top, we lose the rabua. So even little things, realize there's an unfortunate reality in Hutzlar, especially. What's that? Guy goes to Israel, he takes the course as a sefer. I'm a sefer. Sometimes they even get to be certified as a writing sefer. That course is about 6 months to a year. Okay? And the Rav says, look, you know more than anybody else here. You start fixing the Sifrei Torah. And people start bringing him the business, and then they come to fill it. But he was never trained, A, as an examiner, and B, in Hilchus Batim. That's like going to an ophthalmologist and saying, look, you're the only doctor here. I broke my leg. Can you set it for me? You're right. He's a medical doctor. He's board certified. He's a specialist. He can probably do laser surgery on one's eyes and restore sight for a person. but he can't set a broken leg because that's not his training. So always make sure you go to the right mumka and ask what he, you know what I mean? Just like you go to an MD and you start to say, am I going to the right person? Make sure you're going to the right person even when you go to a sofer. Because that's another fallacy of reality, that the fellow that you assume on the other side of the counter knows more than you do. That includes someone who says he's a sofer. And I know that from some of the Dayanim here, that there are people who are better and there are people who are worse. And it's not my job to point fingers, but one should always make sure they know who they're going to and what their qualifications are. And it's a mitzvah to do so. Why? Because if the person isn't qualified and he gets constantly rejected because where's your tudah, he will either seek it or he will stop doing what he's doing. So in fact, you can do a tremendous tikkun by requesting to see that tudah. Alright, continuing our list, we said that it had to be sewn up. The one part, well, interesting thing, one always sees a little arot that come out of the Parsha Vayim Shemoa, which is our indication. We know that Rashi comes out from the third bias, between the third and the fourth bias, by that Tarit, and Rabbeinu Tam comes out in the middle, which is an interesting thing. If you think of it, where does the Tzaras come out? Where the Grashayim are. They're in the middle between the two letters, the Rabbeinu Tam. Come out in the middle of the bias. If they come out on the side, like Rashi, then the third, so you know where it's at. That is a halakha motion of Sinai, that they have to be wrapped with a rope and a maklit. There's a maklit, it's a poiskim, the Shemush Rava versus the Rambam, whether it's a maklit and a sar, or a sar and a maklit, and we possibly like the words of Ruach, where we put a sar, a maklit, and a sar. We don't have a problem with that, and since the Torah Beis Yosef, that's the minig Yisrael of Sofrim to do. Then we turn all of a sudden and we have this new phenomenon. It's called Ritzuos. If I had to go into any koilo, you name the koilo, whether it be Kolo Hazarishin B'nebra, whether it be, you know, Reb Chaim Berlin in New York, wherever you want to go, Gateshead Kolo, I don't care where you're at. The biggest psulim that I will find are Ritzuos. How long do Ritzuos last? Anybody have an idea? Top level Ritzuos. 10 years? What? 4 to 5 years is already, you got your money worth plus. How do you destroy Ritzuos? You ever watch people, if you want to ever have a comical, you know, time in the morning, watch people put away their tefillin. This guy's yanking and they're grunting while they wrap it up, you know, with such fervor to make them perfectly neat and set in their way, right? What do they do by doing it? Anybody have a pair of tefillin here? I don't care. I'll pick on anybody. I'm useful. Besides that, I'm leaving the country soon, so it's all right. But reality is, now how long do you have your tefillin?
2 years.
About 2 years. So they should be in pretty good shape because we didn't have anything here, right? Now, first of all, if you look over here, look at the stretch marks. But if you look, and I'm just going to want to show this to you. Look at this over here where you don't have paint anymore, right by the Malkin McKesher. Look how tight it is right over there. Okay. Now you see that? It just doesn't want to go. Okay. We take that out. The bottom are in perfect shape. They look very good. Right? A little bit of rubbing when you put it in. 3 seconds long, we'll take that. Look at the strap. Now this is the Shel Rosh. And if you look at it, you'll see all kinds of folds and rips from stress, right? To the point that if you looked at a Mishnah Berurah, who's the big kumra, right? Today is a good day to put on tefillin. Today. Still. Because Mishnah Berurah wouldn't like this too much. That's how chamor it is. And we're only talking about halacha Moshe Nesina. So other than, you know, the technical thing of that, I'll let you wrap it up. Gently. Remember, life starts once you have a stress. Remember that your sofer is telling you this. Stress-free life starts with stress-free straps. If you strangulate them, look, They won't come apart. Right? They can't breathe. They get pulled apart. Look at this. You have to work. Why work so hard in the morning the next day? You wake up, you're tired. You have to get your energy going. You know, like this. Notice the strap becomes thinner. Why? Because it's being stretched over the corner. Notice the indentation, which you can't see anyhow because you're too far away. But over here, there's an indentation where it's being cut by the cover. Notice that there are little lines on every single fold so you can tell how you wrap your tefillin. You know, your sofer always knows. These are the reality. There's no reason why the same pair of tefillin cannot have the little loop sit out, make a big loop all the way around, wrap it up so it's nice and loose. If you put it on, there's a little thing of physics that if you put it on a slight angle, right, what ends up happening? They won't come apart. And if they do come apart in the bag, it's no big deal. The first thing you're going to do when you take them out is take them and unwrap them. So they're nice and, you know, they're nice and loose, and that's it. And there's no visible tight spot on the box. That simply adds the longevity. Now, there are two reasons they lose paint. One is when you stretch them, you break the leather. Again, the same issue of elasticity that I mentioned in the bottom occurs with the straps. Two, there are oils both in the leather, otherwise they would not be pliable. You would not be able to put them on. They'd be hard as a rock. Okay? Bottom, you want to have it dried out. You don't want to have any moisture inside. But two is you need them to be pliable. You have to put them on. Therefore, you have a tendency of having fat inside them. You also sweat, which absorbs the fat from the base, okay? And that goes in. And that co-op physically of the fats and oils inside the leather pushes out the paint, which is stuck in the pores on the top. So that's why paint will, at first at the edges, which absorbs more oil, and then later on the inside, where they'll lose their paint. That procedure takes between 2 to 5 years, depending on the mazel of where you have the ore from. Why do I say the mazel? An ore is this huge hide. You cut it around in a circle in order to make the resuits. Somebody has to have it off the shoulder. Somebody has to have it off the hip. Somebody has to have it where there's a fat zone. If you hit the fat zone exactly on a plot, you know, the way you're making the kesher, your resuits are going to last less. If they hit it on the shoulder part, they're going to last longer. Do I know where it's from when I cut it? No idea. Because you can't tell at that point. All right? So resuits have to be checked. The other things are the knot. Now, most of the time, the knot, the shel rosh, and the shel yad, which has to be a sort of a dalid, and the yad and the shel, sort of a yud, those are halafas. What happens with them is the following. They normally stay as is until somebody wants to adjust it, and or sometimes the yud part on the shel yad opens up. Now, if that opens up, you have no tzuras yud, and you're not yotzei tefillin. You have to go to somebody to retire. Granted, it takes somebody about 15 seconds, but without that 15 seconds, you have no tefillin there. Now, I asked Rav Shmuel Vozner, what does black mean? Right? Halacha Moshe Messina, the tzuras have to be black. The bottom don't. That's the only is looked at. If they're not black, it's kosher. There's only one sheet that holds that they have to be black. But everyone, it is agreed that you have to have the tzuras black. I asked for Shmuel Vozner, what's my tzuras? You know, it's one of these questions that you think you're stupid because you asked it. And he says, they agree. Black means black. Very good answer, right? Which means when you look at the resuit, not when they're flat, but when you have them on and they look like they're little breaks inside and they look like they're a little bit white, that means it's not black. If it looks gray, it's not black. If it looks blue, it's not black. That was a simple shot of what Shmuel Vozner told me. Black kicked off, schwarz kicked off, schwarz. When you paint Ritzuis, you know, with a little teeny bottle, you just remember the Shem Kedushas fill in, it won't work on you, by the way. Why? Because you just have the fat from the oils on there and you're painting on a surface of oil. You can't do that. You know, you can do it all you want, it won't bond inside. The reality is that the best thing to do is take like in the rolls of towel paper, they have that cardboard tube, wrap the ritsua on that tube. Why? Because those little teeny cracks open up, just like they would with your arm. Therefore, when you paint it and use the bottle paint, not the marker, for the strap, because that will sap into the ritsua. The marker will only hit the surface. It won't go really into the crack. That's why you want to go ahead and use that. On the bottom, you want to use the marker, by the way. Just the opposite. You don't want it to leak into the parishes. Every year I get one, two, three, four pairs of fill-in that the people painted the parishes inside. So, it's not pretty. You try telling the guy, you know, you're not supposed to paint the inside, it's on the outside. But, you know, can't do everything. The kids are fill-in, our halakha moshe Sinai. Reality is one should check their tefillin every fourth year. From Mayim B'Sheva, we don't wear them all day, and there have been all kinds of things over my years of doing this. I've had people come in to me, there's nothing wrong, I put them in my closet. And a fellow comes to me 5 years later, I have to ask him a chila. We had a pipe break in the building, and my next door neighbor's heating pipe, which is our common wall, went through the building. And only when the pipe burst, did I realize in my cabinet where I kept my filling, where you said they were heat damaged, was the heating pipe directly on behind it. So there are a lot of things that we don't even realize what happens to it. Inevitably, people go away on holiday. They leave their filling in the car because they're just traveling with it. They, you know, you don't need long. On a good hot day in the sun with that rear glass behind it, it will be like a magnifying glass. It intensifies the heat. You can bake your tefillin. So one should be makpid to try to get his tefillin checked twice in 7 years. One should be makpid. There's an interesting chiddush. It says in Makkei Brian that in Chodesh Elul we check our tefillin and we check our mezuzahs. And it's brought down, there are three sheets on checking tefillin. One sheet, which is the Hazaka, we said, which today doesn't really apply, is Ein Tzorech La'olam, because we hold by Hazaka. The second one is Bein HaProchim, which is Pamayim B'Shemitah. I have never yet seen a Shita that says once in 7 years. The Shach and the Taz say that you do it from Pam L'Pam is Mashma, and it's brought down by the Mikdash Ma'at, that it's also Pamayim B'Shemitah, because of Zaya they bring down. The other sheet is brought down that one should bring it down based on the Yerushalmi, check your film, call you Beis Chadasha, which is the minig by Chabad, by the way, and by a few other uzus. What I say is a very interesting thing. I'm not so worried about your parshiot being checked every year. However, two phenomena. One, check your batit once a year. Check that they're not banged. People don't realize they bang it sometimes. They're too busy in the morning to check that. Check the ritsuo, that they're not cracked. Check that they're the right kesher, the kesher didn't come apart. All the things, del shimona devarim, halakha moshe Sinai. Those are the things that you want to check, and one can even check themselves. As I said, if it doesn't look square to you, it's not going to look square to me. You don't need a micrometer to check that. If it looks bang to you, then it's bang. Right? If it isn't black to you, then it's not black and they have to be dealt with. Those are all things that we within ourselves easily, readily can do by ourselves. And if you have a question, then you go the next level on. You don't have to go to the biggest heart surgeon because you have even a real problem of arrhythmia. You can go and take the questions as they come. But those are things that one should be watched themselves and can do themselves and should do themselves in order to make sure that they're making the mitzvahs, I say, of Tzilin Shel Yad and Tzilin Shel Rosh. Changing topic within 2 minutes that I'm over. in my trip this time of checking mezuzahs in London, besides the common knowledge thing of London being very wet, and therefore proper covers is for that and proper protection. Cellophane cling film is not a good protector. It allows condensation to go through it, and then is absorbed by the parchment, which causes the mezuzahs to rot. Okay, that's one. Tape is an absolute no-no, and bigger than that, that I have seen, are there nixholim in, there's a din called mazmerinotam, which means they have to be fixed in a fashion that I can't go and just pluck it off, which means blue tack, or sellotape, or Velcro, or other means that are easily removable, are as if you never put on a mezuzah. And I know Olenu in Eretz Yisrael, where I checked mezuzahs of people who, lo Olenu, were injured and killed in terrorist attacks, I found many a Ben Torah whose home had beautiful mezuzahs, but the way they were put up was improper. I went to one person's home who, lo Olenu, was missing mezuzahs, and he had three mezuzahs which were upside down in the cover. It was as if he had no mezuzah. And he had put them all up with Velcro. Why? Because he was a Ben Torah, and he knew he was going to check his mezuzahs. So if one has questions, also on location of it, don't feel embarrassed to ask. Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is very good with us. He lets us know modern technology. You have a digital camera. And I get about somewhere close to 15 questions per week with pictures, with attachments of where the location of a mezuzah is supposed to go and throughout the world. So I do that. And if you have any questions, dear Mr. Ops can get you my contact information for that. Is there any questions? I'm here a bit. And if you want to show me with Suez, I'll tell you what you're looking at.